The Latin America Report is made possible by MBAF, CPAs and advisors.
From the WLRN newsroom, I'm Tim Padgett.
That's what has attracted divers from all over the world to come to Luque and reefs like that in the Florida Keys.
Last week on the 4th of July, Billy Causey took a dozen guests out to snorkel at Luque, a popular coral reef 25 miles east of Key West. Causey loves to do this. He is, after all, Southeast Director for the National Marine Sanctuary Program, part of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. On this day, Causey was hosting a group that 5 years ago would have been persona non grata in the U.S., environmental officials from Cuba. They'd been invited to learn more about coral reefs on this side of the Florida Straits and the challenges for preserving them.
One of the reasons that we picked Luque on a 4th of July is that there will be a lot of recreational use. Our colleagues in Cuba are just starting to experience the tourism and divers coming to their area. So they will see what we're working with, and we will better understand what it means to our reefs.
That environmental exchange is one of the clearest dividends to emerge from the normalization of U.S.-Cuba relations. Last fall, the two countries signed a historic environmental cooperation agreement. Its chief aim is to save their coral reefs. Those reefs are a vital infrastructure of marine life, and therefore the multi-billion dollar tourism industries of Florida and Cuba.
Coral reefs have been around for 600 million years.
But around the world, and especially in the Florida Straits, they're dying thanks to climate change and human abuse, from ocean warming and acidification to overfishing and overboating.
A lot of those boats are up on the seagrasses. There's even small...
As the boat neared Luque, Causey pointed to a cluster of party boats harming a coral habitat. He kiddingly warned his guests...
They're here today. They're going to be in Cuba tomorrow.
No, va a pasar. No, va a pasar.
It won't happen, the Cubans told him. But they know it could, especially as more Americans visit the island. So Cuba recently launched a widely applauded effort to preserve a quarter of its coastal marine territory.
What really gave me hope was to see how much attention the Cubans were paying to the health of their resources and that there are ways to get our reefs to rebound again.
The U.S. wants to help. For example, preserves like Cuba's Guanacahibes National Park and the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary are now sister sanctuaries. For once, U.S. and Cuban scientists are learning each other's marine habitats and how profoundly they interact. Carlos Alberto Diaz heads Cuba's National Center for Protected Areas. Without a doubt, Diaz said, this is a historic moment for scientists in both countries. It opens the door to the future survival of these reefs. Both Causey and the Cubans were reminded why when they dived in to snorkel at Luque. They saw majestic coral, elkhorn, boulder, star, and almost 40 other species. Causey showed them signs of coral sickness like black band and white pox bleaching. They also saw big blue parrotfish munching algae off the reef. This is what their pecking sounds like underwater. That's a recording made at Luque 2 years ago. Parrotfish are so important because rampant algae growth is suffocating coral reefs. But parrotfish are being overfished in the Florida Straits. Replenishing their populations is crucial. That's more possible now since researchers can see more clearly how parrotfish and their larvae drift between Cuba and the Keys. Even more important, says Carlos Diaz, is that we're learning from each other how to replant coral, like planting trees in forests. Diaz is actually a forestry expert. Causey had the Cubans snorkel above an underwater nursery near Luque. They saw coral seedlings growing on metal frames anchored to the sea floor. The scientists call them Christmas trees.
I'm anxious to learn what makes Cuba a resilient place for corals as I remember them in the past.
David Vaughn heads the Moat Marine Laboratory in the Keys. He and his Cuban counterparts are trying to transplant coral strains from one side of the straits to the other, which could be a huge step for preservation. A decade ago, both countries might have deemed such scientific activity a form of spying.
They think we're doing espionage, yeah. Today, especially with our friends from the University of Havana, we can do all the coral science monitoring we want.
The fact is, though, U.S. and Cuban scientists started forging this relationship years before their countries normalized relations in 2014. Some might say normalization has aided the scientists, but the scientists might argue they planted the seeds for normalization. I'm Tim Padgett in Miami. You can read more of our Latin America coverage at WLRN.org.
The Latin America Report is made possible by MBAF, CPAs and advisors.